abandoned by our transgressions. If such a thing as grace exists, then grace was made for lives like this. There are no strangers, there are no
for that truth. Amen. Amen. I'm a child of the King. Praise the Lord. Amen. I tell you right now, if the special singing this morning hadn't done a little something in your soul, something's not right. I tell you, I kind of feel like there's something arcing between heaven and earth this morning. How about you? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm grateful that God has blessed this congregation of believers with good talent, and I'm grateful that they're willing to use it for the Lord, for the glory of God. Brethren, you know, the longer I live, the closer I walk with the Lord, and I've still got a long ways to go. I'm just coming to realize that more and more each day, I just want all that I do to glorify God. I want my life to bring Him honor and glory. I pray that God would help you and God would help me and God would help us as a body of believers, that we would spend our lives, that we would invest our lives into bringing God honor and glory. Can I tell you, there's nothing greater that one could do with their life than to live it for the glory of God. Amen? Have you come to that place yet? Will God help us to get there? Amen? Well, it's hard to imagine that next Thursday, as a nation, we will be celebrating another Thanksgiving. And this is my favorite time of the year. I love this time of the year, the fall and all that comes with it. And, of course, the celebration of Thanksgiving is a part of that. Here in this country, it was Abraham Lincoln. Perhaps you're aware of this. That established Thanksgiving as a national holiday. Now, we celebrate Thanksgiving nationally on a national scale. We certainly celebrate it on a family level, a family scale. Many people will be traveling. Some are already traveling and or have traveled, and they will get with family, and I think that's a grand thing. I think it's great, and they will spend time with family, and I pray that as you do that, as I do that, as we do that, that we will certainly enjoy our time with family, but we will not forget to give God the glory. Give God the glory. So it's a national day. Back in 1863, President Abraham Lincoln signed that as into law as a national holiday. I think that would be about, and I tried to do some math in my head, that doesn't always work out. Say amen right there. But I think it's about 155 years ago, and so we're celebrating, you know, nationally speaking, for the 155th time as celebrating as a nation. Hasn't God been good to America?
Amen.
God has been good to America. You know, I read something this week that I was unaware of in reading about the pilgrims coming and settling back in 1621, then in 1623, you know, about Governor William Bradford. I did not realize about Governor Bradford that, you know, his wife died en route here. She drowned. Didn't realize that. Governor William Bradford, you know, who was very instrumental in the settling of the colonies and all that he done. And I want to read you something. Since we live in a day of revision, where they're trying to revise our history, as a pastor, I constantly want to keep the truth before you, certainly out of the Word of God. But even in the founding of America, we're being told that, you know, it was unbelievers, they were secularists that founded our country. That's not so. That's not so. And so I want you to understand that. Don't believe this revised history. So let me give you something. In 1623, Governor Bradford issued a proclamation establishing that there should be a day of Thanksgiving. Now I'm going to quote some of his proclamation, and then I'll let you decide if these people were believers in the God that we worship this morning. And I quote, "Inasmuch as the great Father hath given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squashes, and garden vegetables." I'd have starved to death. "And has made the forest to abound with game." Now you're talking. Amen. "To abound with game, and the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch as he has protected us from the ravages and the savages, and has spared us from pestilence and disease, and granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our conscience." Now, that kind of sounds like to me he's talking to my God. Amen? That's not some distant deity. That's the God of heaven that this man is issuing a proclamation for the people, for those that were settling in that area. And so he proclaimed, "Let November 25th, 1623, be a day," and I quote, "for rendering thanksgiving to the Almighty God for all his blessings."
Amen.
Amen. And so, unlike what many would say, this is not just, we should thank God every day. We should thank God every day. The Bible says that let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
In everything we ought to give thanks unto God, every day. But I'm glad that I live in a nation that has set aside a time to thank the God of heaven for his abundant and bountiful blessing. Aren't you? America is a great country. Now, America certainly, and I'm not going to preach that this morning, going in a wrong direction. And it's up to you and I. I still believe, brethren, I still believe. I think you ought to vote, and amen. And I think you ought to pray for your elected officials, pray for the leaders. The Bible certainly teaches that. You ought to get involved, and you ought to vote. You ought to be a good patriot, a good citizen. But the answers to our country are not up the road here in Washington. The answers to America resides in buildings just like this around this nation, where the Word of God will go forth in power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost today, where believers will open their heart and receive what thus saith the Lord from a Spirit-filled man of God, and then go out and live the Scriptures. Amen. That's the answer to our country's needs today. And I pray that you and I, that as we reflect on some things, I'm going to do something a little differently this morning. Normally we would take a passage of Scripture and just preach line upon line, precept upon precept. I'm doing something topical. I want to take this word thanksgiving and go to a few Psalms and talk with you about a thankful heart. A thankful heart. Now, let me tell you something. Thanksgiving, now please listen to this. Parents, listen to me. Thanksgiving is something that must be taught. A child left to himself will not render thanksgiving. By nature, we're very selfish. By nature, we're very unthankful. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches in the last days, there will be a spirit of unthankfulness, of ingratitude, that will be prevalent in our world. And we need to teach our young people, as we practice and as we teach them, to be thankful. To be thankful. And one of the greatest ways to do that is to practice it ourselves. To set an example to be thankful. I want to ask you a question today. And only you can answer this. I can't answer it for you. No one can answer it for you. Only you can answer it for you, and I must answer it in my own heart. Am I a thankful person? Not does my neighbor see me as a thankful person, though that is important. But when the God of heaven looks at me, does he see Dale Freeman as a thankful person? Am I thankful? Am I grateful? It's something that must be learned. You learn to be thankful. It's not something that just comes by nature. As a matter of fact, it's the exact opposite. So, well, how do you know that? Well, I raised four children. How many of you raised at least one child? Raise your hand. Or are raising. Okay, look around here. That's about three-fourths, if not more, maybe 80, 90% of our congregation. Now, I did not have to teach my children to do some things. It just came by nature. But I'm going to tell you something I had to just keep on teaching them, and I began to wonder, is this ever going to click in? Or am I going to have to kill them? Amen. So, what's going to happen first here? Say thank you. Say thank you. And boy, sometimes they just look like, Say thank you. And then you, I said say thank you. And then you go, sweetie. Right? You know, after you done, everybody in the restaurant or everybody in the building's looking at you like you're a tyrant. And then you say, sweetie, say thank you. Right? You have to teach thankfulness. It's because by nature we're very selfish people. By nature we're very self-centered, very ungrateful. And so I want to look at some things today. I said Thanksgiving certainly is on a national level, it's on a family level, but can I tell you it's on a spiritual level. Notice what the psalmist said here, and I want to draw some parallels, and then I'll give you 3 points. Okay, look at it here in verse number 17. I will offer. See, you see that word will? It's a word of his own volition, of his own will. It's something he said, I'm going to do this. It's something that I have decided to do. I'm not being coerced. I'm not being made to do this. I will, of my own volition, of my own will, he said, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. The sacrifice. See, it goes against the flesh. It goes against the grain to be thankful. And so here the psalmist, now you have to take into in our minds, you have to take into account who is saying this and what the setting is. It's an Old Testament saint of God. He's not coming to church like we came to church this morning. All right? Different set. Listen, different set of circumstances here. He's going to the temple. They're offering sacrifices. Animal sacrifices. We studied those in the book of Leviticus just several series of messages just over the last few months and on Wednesday nights, the burnt offering and the meat offering and the trespass offering and the sin offering and the peace offering. We study these. And so he said, as I bring my offering, I want to do so with thanksgiving. He said, I want to offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I want to help you, and I want to receive some help from the Word of God on what it is to offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving in the new covenant, in this new dispensation, this church dispensation, this age of grace. So we're not going to the temple this morning. All right? We're not going back. We're going to take this verse of Scripture and lift it out and show where we today are priests. See, you're a priest. We believe in the individual. Listen, this is one of the things that Baptists champion. We believe in the individual priesthood of the believer. That means that we can go into the presence of God ourselves because of the finished work of Jesus, our great mediator. Say amen now. I don't need a pope. I don't need a father. And I mean a man-made now. I'm talking about an earthly. I don't need a priest. I am a priest. And I can go into the presence of God based upon the finished work of Jesus Christ. And if you're saved, you can too. He has opened up a new and a living way, and he has bid me come boldly unto the throne of his grace. Praise God for that. Amen? And so here, he said, when you go before the Lord, go before him with thanksgiving as a priest. As a priest. Let's look at three ways you ought to do that and that I ought to do that. All right? Number one, take your Bible and turn back just a few Psalms to Psalm 95. In Psalm 95, the psalmist said that we ought to, as we offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving, they ought to do it as we cultivate God's presence. In other words, as we come together, as we give him thanks, that we ought to realize that we're doing it in the presence of God. That we are getting together in a setting where God will show up. God shows up when people begin to be thankful. I'm going to tell you, there's very few things that will turn God's face away from you and I as an ungrateful spirit. Look, if you would, in Psalm 95. Look at verse number 2. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Let's read that again. Verse number 2. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Did you go into God's presence today? Have you been in God's presence? We're in God's presence now. The Bible teaches that where two or three are gathered together in his name, there would he be in the midst. God is with us. One of the last things I do before I step to the pulpit is claim God's presence on my life. Because if I stood before you and me, you're not going to get anything. Well, you might get something, but it won't be noteworthy, okay? It won't be helpful. You ought to claim God's presence in your life. And as we come into God's presence, we ought to realize that God is accepting us as we come into his presence, and we ought to have the attitude, as someone said, of gratitude. He said, you ought to be thankful. Look what he said. Let us come. You see that word come there? If you were to look that word up, it means more than just, listen, waltzing into God's presence. It means to come with an anticipation. It means to come with an expectation. I am coming before the presence of a thrice holy God. I am coming before the God of heaven. And so I want to be thankful. He said, when you come into the presence of God, he said, you're to come with thanksgiving. You ought to thank God that he would allow you. I ought to thank God that he would allow me to even be in his presence. Who am I? Who am I to be in the presence of this great God in which allows me audience with him? Brethren, there are many who view God, as I've said often, some distant deity. Can I tell you, God wants to get up close and personal with you. God wants to enter into a personal relationship where He can fellowship with you. He put it this way. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice." Now think about that. Any man, red, yellow, black, white, rich, poor, healthy, unhealthy, good, bad, any man, hear my voice and open the door, I will come unto him. And he with me. And he said, I will sup with him and he with me, which means I will sit down and fellowship with you. So when you're giving thanks today, tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, and even around the table Thursday with your family, remember this. Give thanks for God's presence. Aren't you glad for God's presence? Don't take God's presence for granted. Let me give you a couple of things to think about before we move to our second point. Think about Daniel. Remember when Daniel was taken captive into Babylon, and they told him, they said, "Now, Daniel, you can't go into the presence of your God. You can't pray." Now imagine that. Back here was a man having to be told he couldn't go into the presence of God. My, how times have changed. They knew this man is going into the presence of God. This man lives in God's presence. This man, he desires to be in God's presence. And so they had to give the decree, you can't do that. You think that stopped Daniel? Daniel chapter 6, the Bible says in verse number 10 that all he did was proceed to go into the presence of God. He lifted the windows and prayed toward Jerusalem three times a day. Didn't stop him. And don't you let anything stop you either. There's an enemy who tries to stop us from enjoying the presence of God. Even as we're seated here right now. Now hear me now. There's an enemy who's trying to divert your mind. He's trying to get you on things. Maybe it's after the service today. Maybe it's tonight. Maybe you're traveling and he's trying to make you think about all that you have to pack or have packed or what's going to be on the trip. Listen, what we need to do is realize I'm in God's presence, in God's house, and I'm going to enjoy this moment in time as God has given it. I am going to enjoy the presence of God. And so the psalmist said here, "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving." Can I encourage you to do something? And then we'll move to point number two. Could I encourage you every day to enter into his presence? Set aside a time to where you get along in a secret place, open up the Word of God, and begin to let God speak to you through his Word, and then you speak to him through prayer, and have that fellowship, that communion with the Lord that is so needful if we're to have the peace and the guidance of God in our lives. Thanksgiving. How can we have the spirit of thanksgiving? As the psalmist said, as we read in your hearing today, how can we offer? How can we offer the thanksgiving from our heart? How can we do that? By cultivating his presence. Live as though Jesus is right there with you, because you know what? He is. He said, "I'll be with you always. I'll never leave you." He's there. He's there. Live that way. All right? So that's number one. That's number one. I read something this week. And by the way, let me say this. There are some people who would say, "Well, you know, preacher, when I go before the Lord, I ask God for things." That's normal. That's normal. It's okay to ask God for things. Right? Jesus said, "Ask." And that what he said in Matthew 7? He said, "Ask and you shall receive." Ask God for things. He's our Heavenly Father. If you're saved, he's your Father. Our Father will take care of us. How many of you can testify to that? God's taken care of me. Amen. God has taken care of me. And God takes care of his own. So there's nothing wrong with asking. There's nothing wrong with supplication and prayer. And there's certainly nothing wrong with petitions and requests. But sometimes when we go before the presence of the Lord, it ought not be just to ask. It ought to be to tell. Just go before God and say, God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you. I'm not going to ask you for anything in this moment in time. I just want to thank you. Now you say, what would that do, preacher? Well, I don't know. I asked you a while ago how many of you were parents. Let's see what that would do. God is our Father. What if all your children, if the only communication that our children had with us was when they were asking us for things? That wouldn't be very exciting. It wouldn't build a relationship. We certainly expect our children to ask us for things, right? But isn't it good when your children just come to you and they don't ask you for money, to borrow the car, to sew up a piece of clothing, but they just come and say, hey, Dad, I just wanted to tell you, thank you for being my dad. Thank you for all you do. It means a lot. It means a lot as an earthly father. And it does to you too as an earthly father and mother when your children appreciate you. Not for what you've done or what you've given them, but for who you are. Can I say it means something to God when we go before Him with thanksgiving and just tell Him, Lord, I just want to thank you. Just want to thank you for what you have done and are doing in my life. All right? We live in a day that is just, I tell you, we've got to teach this next generation what it is to exercise good manner, good couth. Listen to me now. To be thankful. We have to teach. And the way to do that is by example. Certainly by exhortation, but by example. Read a story this past week about a lady who got on a crowded train. And when she got on the train, it was crowded. There were no seats. And a man stood up and he said, ma'am, he said, you can have my seat. She fainted. That's how uncommon this is. She fainted. When she came to, she looked at him and said, thank you. And then he fainted. You know, the common courtesies of life have gone, haven't they? They've gone. No one says thank you hardly anymore. You know, when I go to a place of business and I give them my business, you may think this is crazy. I expect a thank you. Amen. I spend my money at your establishment. Thank you. Hey, that's the way it ought to be. I'm old school, brethren. I believe it. Listen, I don't just go and start demanding things from people. I say, please. I ask for something and I say, please, may I? I'm like, hey, bring me that, do this. No. We're training. The Bible says here in verse number 2 of Psalm 95, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Have a thankful heart. All right? Have a thankful heart. Now let's turn to another psalm. Psalm, this is one you're very familiar with. This is a few pages over. Psalm 100. Now, you may know that this 100th psalm, there was a song written about this psalm called The Old 100th. I guarantee Dr. Thompson and Brother in Bowden and some of the others would know that. The Old 100th. The name was changed to Praise God from Whom All Blessings Flow, or the doxology from this psalm. And this is the way it goes. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Just praising God. Notice what the Bible says here in this 100th psalm. We talked about His presence. I want to talk about His place. You see, when that psalmist wrote that, he was talking about the temple. We no longer meet at the temple. Brethren, we're in the church. Thank God for the local church. Say amen with me now. I'll tell you, some of the greatest things that's ever happened in my life happened in a Bible-believing, local, New Testament church. Thank God for the church. Now, I didn't get saved in church. But once I got saved, I made my way to a local church. And I'm going to tell you right now, I've tried to be faithful to the local church. And not just because I'm a preacher, but because I'm a Christian. And I believe Christians ought to be faithful to the local church, don't you? You obviously do. You're here, and many of you are at every service. Now, in the Old Testament, they had stated times to meet. In the New Testament, was upon the first day of the week, and churches meet at different times as far as through the week. Here at Fellowship Baptist Church, we meet Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You have three opportunities. You ought to fulfill each one of them, and you ought to be in your place on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, if at all possible, barring an emergency or some type of providential hindrance. I want to show you what the Bible says. We ought to gather together. There was a time when the saints of God called what we're doing today the gathering place, the meeting. We're going down to meeting, is what they'd say. And they wasn't talking about meeting with one another, neither. They were talking about meeting with the God of heaven. Amen. And giving Him the praise for what He had done in their life. Amen. Where is that gone? Can I tell you, listen, sometimes we get to church and we expect to be pumped and pride, but I'm going to tell you what the Bible teaches now. Listen, watch carefully. When we have a thankful spirit, you won't have to be pumped and pride. You'll come in those doors shouting glory, hallelujah. Amen. Notice what the Bible says here in Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you saints. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Now here's the verse I want to zero in on. Talking about His place. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and to His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. You say, well, now, preacher, I can praise God riding down the road. I can too. I've done it many times. It's a wonderful thing to do. I can praise God in my home. I can too. I do it all the time. It's a wonderful thing to do. But did you know that the Bible says right here that this is a place where we come to be thankful? Look what He said now. And to praise the Lord. Notice it. Notice what He said in verse 4. Enter. Enter. You see, in the temple, they had gates. They had courts, the outer court. They had a place where people would enter in before they got inside the actual temple place. And He said, when you come in, you ought to come in with a certain kind of spirit. You ought not come in fussing and griping and grumbling and complaining. Amen. Now, you say, preacher, you ever come to church in a foul spirit? I do. I sure do. The devil works on me just like he works on you. Boy, I tell you, sometimes on Sunday mornings, I remember when our children were young, I tell you right now, I there were times when I got to church, I felt like casting out devils instead of worshiping God. Amen. Amen. Boy, it seems like everything that could go wrong went wrong. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You're trying to get those little ones ready, and the time you get one of them ready and work on another one, they done something, had an accident. And I'm not going to go into detail on what that's all about. I don't have to if you're a parent. Amen. And it just seems like that everything that could go wrong will go wrong. And so you finally make it to the church last minute now. You roll up, you get out, and then all of a sudden, everybody starts singing Amazing Grace in harmony. The family walks out. I mean, just, you know, it's almost like these aura around them. You know, how y'all doing? Oh, we're doing great. Good to see you. Amen. Of course, we've likely got a divorce on the way to church, but right now we're doing great. Right? Hey, you know what I'm saying, so? Why? There's an enemy working overtime. The enemy doesn't want you coming to this place. Listen, this is God's place right here. This is not, listen, I hear people say, well, down there at Dale Freeman's church, I correct them immediately. This is not Dale Freeman's church. This is God's church. Amen. Jesus shed His blood for this congregation of believers. Amen. This is God's church. So listen, this is not Dale Freeman's church. This is not one family's church or that family's church. This is a local assembly that Jesus purchased with His blood. We are the church of Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says enter. That means get down there to the house of God. And you listen, I'm bringing this up to New Testament vernacular. Amen. It means get down there to the house of God. Get in. Amen. Say amen, church. Get in, church. Get in, church. Why? So you can give Him thanks. You say, preacher, I can give Him thanks at my house. I can give Him thanks in the restaurant. I can give Him thanks out on the street. Get in His house and give Him thanks. Amen. The Bible says, enter. Look at verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts. The gates and the courts of what? The temple in the Old Testament, but the church in the New Testament. Get in His house. We talked about His presence. We ought to be thankful in His presence, but we ought to be thankful in His place. Can I tell you, this is God's place, brethren. Where else would you rather be than right here this morning? I can't think of nowhere on earth I'd rather be this morning than right here. Right here. He said, when you get there, look at it now, you ought to do it with praise. Can I ask you to join me in asking God to help us have a right attitude when we get here to God's house? Let's be mindful of it. Sometimes it's being humbly grateful or grumbly hateful. Say amen. Walk in the door and we had a bad morning and things not going right and somebody said, good morning. You have to be conscientious. There has to be a mindfulness, brethren. This is God's house. We're to keep our foot when we enter into God's house. We're to be aware of His presence. We're to be aware that this is God's house. We have met here to worship. We have met here to be exhorted. We have met here to edify one another. That's what this book teaches. And so here in verse number 4, when he said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, to his courts with praise, he said, be thankful unto him. Where's that at, preacher? Around the table? No, the context of this scripture is in his house. You know, I have to catch myself sometimes. I'll be sitting up here and something will go wrong in the music or something will go wrong with something on. I'll find myself thinking, I'm going to get that straightened out. You know what I ought to be doing? I ought to be thanking God we even have a place to meet. So don't think, I'm not just preaching to you. I'm certainly preaching to you, but it's not just you. This is something we all need to work on. See, the devil will have us to be unthankful for what isn't when we ought to be thankful for what is. Right? We ought to be mindful. This is God's house. We're still human. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to fall short. We ought to do our very best. We ought to do what we do skillfully to the Lord. I understand that. But at our very best, we're going to mess up from time to time. Things are not going to go the way that they should. And instead of grumbling and mumbling and complaining, we ought to say, well, you know what, Lord? I just want to praise you anyway. I just want to thank you for a place to meet. I want to thank you for a good group of people that have the same heart and the same mindset that I had this morning in coming out and worshiping you. I just want to worship you, Lord. I want to worship you. Not for what you've done. I want to worship you for who you are. Hey, let me tell you something. It's okay to give God the glory for what He's given you, but don't you let it stop right there. You thank God for who you are. If you're saved, you're a child of the King. What you have could change today, but who you are will never change. You're a child of the King. We're going to praise Him while the ages roll. Amen. Amen. If I was about 20 years younger, I'd jump over this pulpit. But I'm not, so I'm going to stand behind it. Sometimes we get so caught up and we try to evaluate God on what He's done for us and what He's doing for us. Nothing wrong with being thankful for your blessings, but the greatest thing I can praise God for is who I am. Amen. I belong to Him. Amen. And when I walk through those doors, I want to be mindful there was a day that you couldn't have dragged me to this place. But by the amazing grace of God, amen, I'm here on my own volition because I want to worship and praise His holy name. So when we come to this place, we ought to praise Him and we ought to give Him thanks and say, thank you, thank you, thank you for your blessings on my life. So we have the presence of God. We have the place. And I'll close with this, okay? Psalm 26. Turn to Psalm 26, if you would, and this will be my final thought. Psalm 26. Look, if you would, in Psalm 26. One verse of Scripture. Again, we'll look around this word thanksgiving. He said in Psalm 95, now you're turning to Psalm 96, but I'm going back and I'm recapping. He said in Psalm 95, he said, when you come into His presence, let us go into His presence. Come into His presence with thanksgiving. The presence of God. We ought to live with the mind that we're always in the presence of God. And then the place of God, Psalm 100. Enter into His gates. enter into his courts. Be thankful unto him. Here in Psalm 26, look if you would in verse number 7. Psalm 26 and verse number 7, the scripture says this. The scripture says that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. So we talked about the presence of thanksgiving, the place of thanksgiving. But here is the provision. Notice what he said here. He said that I may publish. Now, again, you in our day, when we think about publish, we think of Nelson or Zondervan or Thomas publishing. But that's not the publishing that he's talking about. He's talking about proclaiming. So here's what he's saying in verse number 7, that I may publish, that I may proclaim with my voice, with the voice of thanksgiving, and tell all thy wondrous works. God, let my voice be a voice that's constantly telling people how good you are to me. You know, whether we're at home, work, or play, whether we're at church, in and about, we ought to always be telling people how good our God is. Oh, the Lord is good. Amen? The Lord is good, and His mercy endureth forever. You can turn over. You don't do it, but sometime in your own, you've read Psalm 103, and it talks about, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Hey, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and listen now, forget not all His benefits. You know, if we're not careful, we're such a forgetful people, aren't we? God can just shower us with blessing. No wonder the songwriter said, count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings and see what God hath done. You ought to go home and just pull out a pad similar to this and just begin to write down the blessings of God. We could never count how God has blessed our life. And yet the psalmist said, I don't know that I'm going to try to count them or enumerate them. He said, but I tell you what I am going to do. I'm going to, by the grace of God, I'm going to publish them. Read it one more time with me before we bring this to a close. Psalm 26 in verse number 7, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. We live in a society that complains about everything. And complaining is contagious. But so is thanksgiving. I think I may have told you last week, I read where a man said that a lie is halfway around the world before the truth gets the shoes on you. Good. And I know that it may seem that way about criticism and complaining and murmuring, that it seems to be everywhere. But you know, you can change the atmosphere. I can change the atmosphere in the environment in which God has placed me if I so desire, by simply doing what this psalmist said he was going to do. I am going to publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. I'm just going to start telling people how good my God is. How about you? Now here's three good things around the word thanksgiving. I want to remember that God's presence is always with me. He said He would abide with me. He would never leave me nor forsake me. And so I want to cultivate that presence, and I want to offer thanksgiving, the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I want to give God thankfulness for His presence in my life, the sweet abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful blessing from God. And then this place, I don't want to take for granted this church. I don't want to take for granted this place where we as a church can come and meet. We can hear good singing as we've heard. We can have ministry here. There's all kinds of things we can do, and I don't want to take that for granted. And so I want to enter here. I want to enter into His courts. I want to enter into His gates. In our day, we come into these doors. I'm bringing that up. And I want to do it with thanksgiving. I want to be thankful. Well, preacher, this could be different. And that could be different. And we could do this a little different. You're right. And by the grace of God, we'll continue to allow God to help us to grow and to build on that and do. But we want to do it with the spirit of thanksgiving. Let's be thankful. And then we want to publish all of His wondrous works. No matter where you are. Could be by the water cooler, maybe in the break area, the canteen. Maybe at your kitchen table. I don't know. Maybe in your Sunday school class. Maybe when you leave here today. Boy, I tell you, that preacher, he went all over today. Now, that doesn't sound very thankful. You say, what am I going to find thankful about this message? I'm getting ready to close. You know, if we look hard enough, I think we can always find something to be thankful for. And I don't think we have to look that far, that long, or that hard. We have much to be thankful for. Amen? God's been good to us. Let's stand to our feet.